Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
All right, we are back with another episode of Daddy Issues.
I actually don't like when DJs do that.
Oh, I hate it.
It'd be mid-song, we'd be having a good time.
I hate it.
I was in mid-thrust.
What's the point of that?
Yeah, shut up.
Or an explosion, or I don't even like hearing their names throughout the track. No. I mean, I get it, you gotta stamp yourself, but I hate it.
Like, remember DJ when mixtapes? Yeah, mixtapes was the thing. DJ Clue, 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 Clue. We get it. Say it at the beginning and be quiet.
Right. Right. Or even like in the middle piece when like people may come in and they miss the beginning and they might be like, and then you throw something in there real quick though. No real echo. Quick. Just a quick, I did that. You know what I'm saying?
And not over the like the dopest punchline of the song or the part of the verse where they hit a note that's crazy. Like, don't do it. Sneak it in on that downtime. Like, we ain't here for you.
I'd be mad, man. I'd be like, I get it. You got to brand yourself. But hush.
Jesus.
Hush. Man.
All up in the video.
Still a dad out here. Sincere is frustrated because, you know, he's ready for this semester to be over, basically.
Oh, yeah.
And he was just like, man, he texted me the other day. He was just like, first of all, he asked me, how's it going, Dad? I'm like, it's just out of nowhere. Just asked how I'm doing. I'm doing all right. You know, he's like, man, this school, man. I don't know. I was like, I'm sure it's got to be frustrating getting pulled out of the system you was just used to. You were getting accustomed to it. You know, you nailed it on the first semester, and then you got to do the homeschooling thing.
Yeah.
Do-it-yourself university. I get it. And he was just like, I just got to hang in there till May 16th. And then, whew. I was like, all right, man, the grade's still good? He was like, yeah. I was like, all right, man, hang in there. Hang in there, man. Serene was talking to me about this. People just don't listen to me, man. Those is closest to me don't listen. They say they do, then they be like, man. So Serene hits me up. I told him a long time ago on the rap tip. I was like, yo, just use your real name.
Oh, yeah.
Your name stands out. It's unique. Yeah. Just go by your real name. Nah, you know, I'm dude certified. You know, I already got the. So he texted me the other day. He was like, Dad, I think I'm going to just go by my name. And I was just like, oh, that's crazy. That is crazy that you thought about this all to yourself. And then he was asking me like, man, but I can't get Serene Baker because somebody on Instagram already got it. And I was just like, you know how to, you know, get it back or something like that? Because he doesn't even use the page. I was like, I don't even know. If you find out, let me know because I still want
Serene Baker. Yeah, you're trying to get your name, right?
Man. And so he was asking me all kind of options. I was just like, go buy Serene Baker. And he's like, I don't really want to use the last name. I was just like, all right, you know. And then, so he was just, you know.
I mean, just Serene, like, Serene by itself is a dope rap name.
That's it. That's just all Serene. He needs. Serene. He's like, Serene, I can't just use the Serene. And I was just like. Because somebody has it.
I thought they had the full name.
No, they got the Serene by itself. Oh, and I was like, just go by Serene Baker. He's like, I don't want to use the last name. I was like, all right. And then, he was like, so I was like, just add underscores after your name. He was just like, you think, or should I do Serene B? And I was just like, just do what you want to do, dog. Just do what you want to do. Because usually if you add the underscore, it's just going to be Serene. It's just going to pop. people ain't gonna pay attention to the underscores behind it. And Serene B can look confusing if you just look at it. And so it's still certified CB right now, so I'm not sure what he's gonna do, but I'm just like, don't nobody listen to me, man.
Can y'all hear Sick that? Or is that just me?
Hear what?
Okay, never mind. It's just me.
Okay. That's annoying. But yeah, but that's what's going on with the Baker boys, you know what I mean?
Seeking your advice back to back.
Yeah.
Well, kind of, sort of. I mean, Sincere just wanted to vent a little bit.
Yeah, he was just like, I'm sick of this. Yeah. Hey, talk to me. And then Serene coming to me with the advice that I already gave him. I was just like, bro, all
right. Right.
Come on, man. What the boys been up to?
They, so today, man, they was real quiet in the back playing by themselves, right? And, like, since we've been on quarantine, like I said, I've been way more active, whatever, because, you know, I might have to get back out there soon enough. Mm-hmm. And so I've been really like trying to play with them and whatever. So they was real quiet in the back. I was fiddling around on my phone, editing some stuff, putting out videos, whatever. And I was like, let me make sure I go give them some attention. So I walk back there. I see they playing with their cards. They having a little game. They talking back and forth. And I was like, hey, guys, what y'all doing? And Keelan was like, Dad, can you just get out? I was like, what? He was like, just go, Dad. And I was like, all right. I just walked out. My soul was deflated. I picked my mouth up off the ground. And they didn't want me to play.
The audacity.
He was like, and he said, please, at the end. He was like, Dad, get out, please. I was like, it was so polite, it hurt. I was like, wow. So then I went back to my phone. And then after they got done with that game, they wanted to switch games. So then they was like, Dad, you want to fight with us? And I was like, I don't even know. Maybe I do, maybe I don't. Let me think about it. You didn't boot me out the card game. What if I just wanted to play cards? Now you want me to do the physical activity. They never want me to play when it's just them playing with their little men or whatever. Whenever it comes to like sports or fighting, then they want me to beat the hell out of me all the time. I'm like, well, I got to do the physical stuff. Maybe I just wanted to color with you or play these cards too, but I'm a punching bag.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
That's basically what Pops is, man. Let's beat dad up.
Yeah.
Because low key, it's a good way for kids to get out their aggression towards you.
Yeah.
You know, even when you got a great relationship, when you told them what to do and you had to discipline them, they be holding that each time. Like when we used to fight our dad, I used to tear his back in half. You know those bassy, meaty back punches? I used to tag his back up. While my other brothers was holding the front down, I would come in with the...
Oh, with the
double back, with the Thor's hammer right on his back. And it was like a secret, like, I'm sick of you telling me to go to bed. Bam. So you get that. You can't get that in the card game.
Yeah, maybe. And Kendrick, that's all he want to do is just hit. He just beats everybody. That's all he do. Like, we was playing Aquaman, and I was supposed to act like I got stabbed, and I was, like, laid up, and Keelan was supposed to be trying to heal me. So he was like, just lay down. And he took out his little doctor kit. And then here come Kendrick. He was like, I was like, I'm already incapacitated. Like, I'm done. Yeah. Why are you beating me when I'm in the hospital? I don't even think you're allowed to do that. And he was just like, so then I had to act like I was dead. And then Keelan was like, Kendrick, I got to bring him back to life. Just so you could beat me again.
Yes. The good old beat down. I miss the beat downs, man.
That's what I've been
doing. The good old running around the house, the wrestling. I used to use Sincere as a shield all the time against Serene. It was a good time, man. You throw somebody in the front, they absorb the hits. Great time.
They're being tossed around and whatnot. It's fun.
Big time.
Yeah.
We got a guest today, as y'all can see.
Yeah, he's been sitting there.
He's been sitting there. Just no chill, intro. Just
taking it back. I don't want to interrupt the flow.
We talk our dad's stuff in the beginning. Sometimes we just go off topic, which I enjoy. Because I ain't got much kid stuff to talk about, to be honest with you, because they didn't pass me by. We got Dr. Donald Brown in the building.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, man, thanks for pulling up. What are you now, for the people that don't know you, what are you a doctor of?
So I have my training in general psychiatry and forensic psychiatry.
Oh, wow. Forensic psychiatry. What is this?
So forensic psychiatry is basically any interaction between mental health and the law. So when, say, a person were to commit a crime or allegedly committed a crime and mental illness had something to do with that crime, they would hire me to evaluate that person and then write a paper or testify in court, my opinion, whether, you know, a multitude of questions can be asked based on that. So if they were insane at the time of the crime or something else, then that's when I would come in.
Are you judging their, like, is it up to you to say whether they insane or not? Or
so I just offer my opinion. So it's basically evidence in their case. It could be either for them or against them, and the lawyers, whoever appoints me or if the court appoints me, then that's my capacity.
You know what? What's forensic defined as? Because a lot of times when I hear forensics, I think of they checking the bullet hole to see if it was fired from here, and then when it entered the victim. What is forensics? The definition of that.
So basically, forensics is like anything to deal with a specific field, but it has to do with the law or anything related to the law. So like forensic pathology, looking at blood samples and blood smears, things like that. They have all types of specialties in medicine. You can be an ER doc, you could be a neurologist, neurosurgeon, anything where something that happened in that crime and you need an expert to basically simplify a point for you, because a neurosurgeon, like, you don't know, a lot of people don't know what happens with neurosurgery. So you need a neurosurgeon to kind of break it down and say, blah, 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 this happened, blah, 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 to basically explain complicated things to the jury or to the court.
Okay. And that's all forensic, just an expert in law stuff.
Just an expert in their field as it relates to law, essentially.
All right.
Gotcha. You got kids?
No, I don't. I am married. I've been married since August of last year. And
you're new in the game.
Yeah, I'm new in the game.
Fresh marriage.
I'm a rookie out here. But
so we could give you some forensic advice.
Yes,
on please. Marriage.
Please, definitely.
You are this street. Your rookie year.
Rookie year, right here.
How you liking the first year?
I'm loving it. Yeah. So we started living with each other a little bit before we were married, and you know, not a lot. A lot of people say, yo, yeah, once marriage happens, things will change. But to me, it's been the same, if not better. So I've loved it so far.
Yeah. I don't always believe it changes as soon as you get married.
Everybody be saying that. I'll be like, where?
I don't believe it.
There's literally no difference right now. So we get a tax break.
Exactly.
Yeah. Benefits. You get better benefits when you're married.
Exactly. Because they know, like, okay, just wait. You know, the longer it goes on, let's get these benefits now.
Right.
We'll see.
Because, you know, when you get divorced, it could go to shit badly because of the marriage. But coming in, it's benefit city.
Yeah. I think the bitter voices are just louder than the happy ones.
Yeah.
Like, and that's in any situation. People like the negativity. Like, even if you look at somebody reading their comments online, right? 99 of the comments would be like, man, you hilarious. But people would love to harp on the one that said you ain't funny. It's like, why? It's just the negativity is just louder. I don't know why people focus on that so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I wonder what it's like for people that generally encounter negativity, to where even the stuff they post is generally negative comment, and then they get the one positive and they just like, oh my God. Look at what this person said. I am valued out here as a horrible human being. Maybe it's just the rarity of it. I don't know, but you're absolutely right, man. That negativity sticks out.
I don't get it.
Resonates.
Somebody hit me the other day and it actually made me feel really good. They were like, you're one of the few people I follow that don't give any energy to people who leave negative comments. Mm-hmm. You only respond to us who are like showing you love or trying to, you know, be cool. I was like, because 9 times out of 10 of people are trolls and they just want attention. I'm like, no, go get it from your daddy. I'm not doing it. Like, I just, you hear just be like, look at me. No, I'm not going to do it. I refuse to do it. Not like it, like, cause it hurts or anything. Just like, cause I know what you're here for.
Right.
I'd rather focus on the people who are here to have a good time. Cause that's what I'm trying to do. Have a good time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's kind of how you have to do it.
So how long you been doing what you've been doing, Doc Brown?
So I finished residency in 2018, and for about the past year and a half, I've have two practices. One, I do my own private forensic psychiatry practice, and then I'm an inpatient doctor at a state hospital in California.
Oh, wow. So since you have a private practice, that means, like if they need you for a case or whatever, they just come to you directly as opposed to going through the normal hospital channels?
Yeah, so I can be appointed a multitude of ways. So one, yes, they can email me or call me directly and say, hey, I have this client. I have a question that needs to be answered based on so-and-so. Are you available? And then I can choose to take their appointment based on my availability or what they're asking. But I can also get appointed directly by the courts. There's actually a separate mental health court for Los Angeles County that I'm affiliated with. And sometimes I get assignments directly from the court. And then I can go that way.
And you have to do it for both sides, right? Prosecution and defense.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel like, damn it?
So it depends. It's like generally where I focus right now, specifically for time's sake, because I am doing it part time, is just competency to stand trial cases. So basically what that means, if someone's able to understand what's going on with their charges, the court, like who's a lawyer, what does a judge do? Things like that. And then also being able and willing to help their lawyer with their defense. If they don't fulfill these two criteria, then they're declared incompetent, meaning they don't understand what's going on. So it's not fair to sentence them or to have a trial because they wouldn't understand. And so it's my job to see if what's determining that. If it's due to mental illness, is it due to drugs, is it due to education, so on and so forth. And then
how high do you have to be for it not to count? Because like, if I got a case against me, I'm going to get loaded.
Yeah. So that depends. So certain substances do mimic certain mental disorders or bring about certain mental disorders that you're already predisposed to. So if it's one day you just got really, really messed up, drank, whatever, and you came out and you were just disturbing the peace or something, and at the time you're intoxicated. But now when I'm speaking to you, maybe it could be a couple weeks later and you're all, you know, you're coherent and everything, then you would be determined competent. So it wouldn't work.
So you get, you got to play it all to where
so you got to stay loaded.
Courts, trial, judges, what is that? You got to stay in the pocket the whole time.
Exactly.
I'm Jesus Christ.
Yep. Get it so all
when somebody
the time.
Asks you a question like, are you ready to stand trial? I'm Jesus Christ. That's what the member of the group High Five did. He murdered his girlfriend and he started saying, I'm Jesus Christ, I'm Jesus Christ. So they judged him unfit to stand trial. So he was in the psychiatric hospital. But of course the family's like, man, he's faking it, you know? He was like, I'm Jesus Christ. All of a sudden, you weren't Jesus Christ in the group singing the kissing game. Now you Jesus out here? Man, come on, man.
But would you rather be in a psych ward or jail?
Oh, coming from the perpetrator, throw me in that psych ward.
Yeah.
I'm going to play my role. If I know I'm going to be found guilty, yep. Oh man, I'm Jesus Christ.
I'm just gonna do this all day, just try to touch you. Like that dude used to work.
Man, come on, man. Don't bring that up.
I'll stay in the pocket. I'll be a nutcase the whole time.
Bro.
But you can try, because first of all, one part of it is just the interview, but also we look at the police report, like what happened leading up to it. I might talk to family, I look at your medical records, I do a bunch of things. I talk to deputies who see you every single day. So you might fool me with that interview, but the rest of that stuff needs to match up too.
What if you snap it?
That's possible too. That's possible. So that's why you need, like, literally when I'm doing my research or when I'm doing my evaluation, I evaluate the person, but I also like to get a step-by-step narrative that led up to that situation. So say a person had a lot of stressors happening at once. Maybe their family member died, they lost their job, and so on and so forth. And then that morning, their mother noticed that they weren't sleeping for the past 3 days, and then something happened, boom. Then I would use all that information and say, okay, maybe it is possible that they snapped due to all these stressors leading up to this.
Okay.
But if you were just out here normal and then started acting different, I'd be more hesitant.
Do you ever, I'm sure you come into it with no personal feelings, no biases. Yep. You just come in like it's whatever. Do you know of any people that's in your field who come in with those biases?
Unfortunately, we all have biases. Some people let those biases affect their decision making. I'm not saying I know specifically people who do that, but I do know situations where that has happened, where you empathize with someone or you're being manipulated by someone, or maybe even the counsel of that person is saying, hey, why don't you lean more this way so we can get this kind of deal for this? No, you have to be purely objective. And I do have my own biases, but I never let them get in the way.
Gotcha. When you feel them creeping up, you be like, all right, hey, hey, hey. Hey, man. Nah, man. I don't care about the story.
I tip my hat to anybody who's involved in any kind of law, anything. I couldn't do it. Because I know my biases is coming out. He'd be like, we got a white male guilty. He's guilty. He did it. But we didn't even, he did it. I know I would.
And that, and Keon's reaction, this is why we don't trust law enforcement. Because the bias Keon has, they have that bias too.
And exactly. They're trying to fake it. Like,
exactly. Yeah. So it's a scary situation, man. That's why people don't trust law enforcement judges, because they come in with that bias.
Because I know I would. And I heard that crazy stuff don't work even when you're trying to get out of jury duty. Like, people have done it, and they'd be like, nah, you doing this damn jury duty. If we Jesus sit your ass down with your disciples over there, and you take
I'm Jesus Christ.
Yeah, sit down with the disciples. There's 12 of y'all. Go ahead and do it.
So the Last Supper.
That would be a good
Last Supper.
I heard it doesn't work. Because I thought about it all the time. I'd be like, what am I going to do to get out of this?
Man.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
But I probably would just do that. I probably would tell the truth. I'd be like, Your Honor, if they black, they innocent. If they white, they guilty.
Use the bigotry card.
What you want to do? Huh? You want to be on this?
Wait. When you go in for jury duty, you don't know about the case beforehand, right?
No.
I don't know. I never went.
It depends if there's like news coverage or how high profile the case is. But generally, they don't know.
Cause I would want to fake my bigotry card, but then it won't be in my favor. Like, I hate all whites. Good, cause this is black on black case. I'm up in the court. I'm like, damn it. But you need that inside track so you can play your hand.
Oh yeah.
I hate blacks. Good. This is a Yugoslavian case against Yugoslavians.
I know nothing.
Maya, what you got going on over there on the laptop credentials?
I don't want to get anyone in trouble with the missus, the new missus. I'm just asking a question right now.
Okay.
About coronavirus and the family. Did you hear about when the Malaysian government gave advice to wives as to how to keep their marriage stable?
No.
No, I didn't hear that.
They
of
came
course
out.
We didn't hear it, Maya. Of course we didn't hear it. how would we hear this? Do it look like we keeping tabs on the Malaysian situations?
Okay, I'm going to tell you then.
She said like it was common knowledge, like an Egyptologist again.
Right.
Maya be knowing the most obscure thing. Did you hear about
No.
In the Starburst? No, I don't know.
The government of Malaysia came out with some advice for women on how to keep their marriage intact during the quarantine. And it included to dress up even when they're staying inside and to avoid nagging their husbands. Now,
No.
They've since apologized and taken it down. But do you guys feel, especially the doctor here, do you feel that how important do you feel it is for men and women to keep up appearances when we don't have to?
Man, first of all, if we in the house, why are we wearing naked every day? Why are we wearing clothes? I don't need you to dress up. I want titties in my face all day. I don't need no clothes. I don't need no dress up. And as far as the nagging, you shouldn't be doing that anyway. In the house, out the house. Just don't be nagging people. That's annoying.
I'm with Keon on this because... ain't nothing sexier to me than just a wife beater. And some shit. A wife beater with no bra, that beats any type of going out dress or any type. That wins every time.
You get three different beaters.
A wife beater, no bra, is cream of the crop with sex appeal for me.
Because you get the nipple pop, the areola, and side boob. That's
the side boob and the...
Three piece.
Bro, why do I need her walking around in heels and like, I'll be like, we in the living room.
Yeah, what are you doing?
You look like you're trying too hard, because we ain't going nowhere.
And then that's more clothes for me to wash. I don't want to wash more clothes.
Doc Brown, what's your take? Oh, my bad.
Well, I mean, although I do agree, in my professional opinion, it is important to keep up some type of appearance because it is there is a connection between not having some kind of daily routine, not having some kind of upkeep that can actually increase your risk of developing depression, anxiety, and other organic mental health disorders, especially when you're in a mode where you can't leave the house, you can't change your situation, and you're just, the day-to-day is almost monotonous. So it is every once in a while, switching it up, making sure you know staying fit, staying healthy in some way. But besides that, 100% agree with both of y'all.
But what if, like, you like that appearance and you gassing that person up. Like they walk around with the white beater. You see them YOLOs, you be like, you looking good again. She's like, oh, do I? You know what I mean? You like, yeah.
For your mental health, yes, that's good. But we have to consider our significant other's mental health in that situation as well. If it gasses them up, I agree.
Yeah, like 100%. What if she getting gassed? She's like, oh, these old things? And she takes it out and shows you these.
That's definitely something Sabrina 100%. Would do.
Yeah.
If I say, I like with you, oh, okay. She'd be doing that all the time. So, but for me personally, like I don't need the, that's not really linked to me getting down. It's like me being in the house and not having to get dressed. I'm like, cool. You know, I'm just cool. Probably because I got a lot going on within the confines of it. And I'm pretty much self-contained anyway. So, but I guess I can understand, like you said, like, you know, people do like routine and do like people really do like having stuff to do, stuff to do, whether even if it's not work, they just like having to go somewhere and to get dressed and to, you know, do something. So I get that.
Exactly. So, I mean, it's important, especially if this unprecedented situation, we have to take our minds off of this major thing that's affecting the whole world. And part of doing that is maintaining routine, not resorting to chronic alcohol, drug use, not resorting to sleeping all the time and all these other things that can get us more down and more in this monotonous type situation. So we want to kind of avoid that.
Now the nagging part though.
Yeah.
The naggery, that's a whole different ball game, you know, because that can happen at any moment, especially when, like, you know, some people are irritable. Some people are like, you know, cranky at any given. So it's like, man, bruh, you know. So when you're confined with that person and you know they're irritable, so it's just like, but then you want to communicate too, but then you get irritated immediately. It could be tough. Yeah, and now they're walking on eggshells trying not to, you know, set you off.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's encountering in a lot of homes today. You know, even the most well-adjusted, compatible pair are going to argue more because they're just in this space and you can't escape.
And sometimes I'll be wondering, what is nagging though? Like if you just being an asshole, like you just trying to pick fights. But I feel like if it's something like that somebody has asked you to do repeatedly times amount of time, you're not doing it. They're not really nagging you. You need to do what the hell you're supposed to do.
That's why I was coming at Chaz.
Yeah, I mean,
Chaz like be calling me a nagger. I'm like, no, you never did. You keep doing what I said is a problem. You keep doing it.
That's not nagging. That's just like, can you please do what I ask you to do? that's not. Especially now, like in the home, that project that all the husbands and fathers been putting off, you know, we got to do them now. The garage, the gutters. I did all that shit. I didn't want to do it, but I was like, hey, I ain't got no excuse. I ain't going nowhere. Let me clean these.
Was she asking you to do it, though? Or was it just something you wanted to get done?
She was asking me. But, you know, we ripping and running. I was like, I ain't got time for that. But now I'm here. Yeah. I did all of it. I cleaned the garage. I scraped out the gutters at the grass. Because, in the backyard, the grass, you know, the water got to drain somewhere. Well, you could unscrew those drains and clean those out. So I cleaned that out. I got to clean the roof gutters for when it rains next. But I'm like, I ain't doing that. I'm like, I don't mind. Like, I'm here. I just I don't like doing outside stuff when I'm already when I've already showered and in my regular clothes. I don't like doing out stuff. So most of the time we shower because we about to go out to these comedy clubs and stuff. And that starts earlier. So once I showered, I'm like, I'm not doing, even though my show ain't till 8, I've already showered and got dressed. I'm not going out there. And then I got to start my process over. I'm not doing that again.
Doc Brown, you got nagging situations at the crib?
Yeah. So
he said that.
Yes. So, I mean, I gotta admit to my loving wife, I'm the nagger in the situation. I'm more impatient, and that's just one of my major flaws, is I'm a very impatient person. So
me too.
I know I can be more nagging, especially considering this, but you know, now considering the times, I've been checking myself more often and, you know, making up for it and stuff like that. But
is it hard for you to be in a relationship with your profession? Like, do you ever hit her? Like, does she ever do something? You'd be like, well, in my professional opinion. And then she'd be like, ah, shut the hell up. What's your professional opinion? Like, is it hard to separate? Like, you come at her like, well, actually, I've studied this and you're wrong. In my professional opinion. And then she just pissed off.
Not gonna lie, when I'm in an argument, I'm going to the professional opinion. 10 times out of 10, I'm going to that.
You got to.
You got to.
You spend a lot of money on that professional opinion.
A lot of money, a lot of years, a lot of research. Like, you know, sorry, professional.
Right.
But no, most of the time, not on duty. When I go home, I try to not even talk about medicine. I try to not talk about anything. I try to separate myself from it because, you know, when I'm on the job, I'm 100% on, and it can be taxing. So I like to have a balance.
That's good. You want to bring that crap home.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, not calling what you do crap, but I'm just saying, like, bring your work home. Is it hard for you to watch shows sometimes, like SVU or Forensic Files? Because you're like, no doctor would do that or something like that.
All the time. What's even worse is, like, I'm a huge movie TV buff. I watch like every TV show, every movie. So like, yes. I'm the person always predicting, like, oh, based on this person's traits, this is going to happen. This person's a bad guy.
Oh, wow.
Like, oh. So like, a lot of movies I like are the unpredictable movies. Like, it's like, oh, okay, they flipped it, in the more psychological movies. So yeah, okay. A lot of times, based on what you're saying, Keon, I do that too, but mostly it's just the mannerisms and personalities of people, the way they're written. I get kind of upset when it's not fitting the character. Like, why would you do that? That's not what that character would do. Stuff like that.
Oh.
What does your wife do?
So she's also a doctor. She's family medicine.
Oh, wow. We're doubling up on my professional opinion.
Right? Your arguments must be
epic. She's firing right back.
Well, yeah. My professional opinion. You ain't got enough vitamin D in your system. And that's why you're acting stupid.
I feel like they be pulling books out, me and argument. Well, if you look at chapter 6 on page 176,
well, I got books too, nigga.
And then she going in there.
Oh, yeah. I never said I won my professional opinion argument. She be giving me, I give her a jab, she give me an uppercut. So we went through the same schooling. So it's about the same. We go back and forth with it, though.
Two doctors in there. I will admit, too, I'm the nagger in this situation. Sabrina's not really naggy, but, like, you know, I'm the one. I would say out of us two, you know what I mean? I'd be like, you going to finish this? Because Sabrina will start something and not really complete it. Yeah. And so, you know, we'd be dealing with that and stuff like that. So I'll be like, I hate to say something, but, and I'm the type of person that I have to say something.
Yeah. Is it something
it'd just
that
be bugging me? You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Is the thing that starts
gnawing at
something
my
like,
soul?
Yeah. Is it something
I nag,
that's
I
like,
nag on the cleaning. That's my thing. I nag on it. Like, whose stuff is this? Pick up your stuff. with the kids and her all day. I'm just like, whose stuff is this?
Yeah.
Pick this up, clean this up. That's my nag thing. Just like, why y'all? If you just hang it up, you wouldn't have to fold it like that. I'm that person.
I'm the complete opposite. She nags me on that stuff. So like cleaning and all that. When I get home, I literally just like to decompress and just turn my mind off. And sometimes I do neglect like the day to day chore. So I'm working more on that. And that's where she nags me. Stuff that I know I need to be nagged on. But like my stuff to her is like little stuff. So I know that's something I need to fix.
The nag isn't bad if you know in your heart you need to do it.
Oh, yeah.
People be fighting the nag, but it's like, but you know they right.
You know. Yeah.
You know they right.
100%. Right. I don't fight that. Like, I'll be like, yo, get on my ass. And what she do, I'll be like, you right. And then, you know,
I do for my ego. I put up that fake resistance. Like, why are you telling me to do this? Like, nah, but yeah. But I know I'm in the wrong. So
Do y'all talk about work a lot with each other? With your respective careers?
Yeah. If it's something interesting pops up with my career, I do. Mm-hmm. She tends to tell me more about her day than mine. Because like me personally, I really don't like to talk about work. But, mm-hmm. you know, we talk and interesting cases she sees. So she does telemedicine. So she works from home. So she actually started doing telemedicine pre-COVID. So now it's like blowing up. Like she's working.
Oh, she was ahead of the game.
Yeah, she was ahead of the game. So she sees interesting things every day, like essential workers that have been sick and warning me about such and such things. Like, so we talk about like stuff related to COVID a lot.
Okay.
Yeah. So what's more involved and more depth with telemedicine?
So basically what it is, the company she works for, you can use insurance, but you can also pay like a year annual fee. I forgot what the figure was, but basically you can access it from your phone, your laptop, wherever. And their company she works with now, they actually have contracts with specific employers. So with that employer, they can go to work and on their lunch break, they can see a doctor or something like that.
Are they like FaceTiming or something?
Yeah, it's like basically like Zoom, like what we're doing right now. So basically what
she does. So they'd be like, I got this areola problem. My husband's been looking at it. She's be.
So yeah, they take pictures. So they do take pictures and do videos and things like that. It is HIPAA compliant. So it's not like not encrypted, not where anyone could just pop in and see. But yeah, it's mostly that.
Confidentiality.
Yeah. And so like when there is something like they can't handle over telecommunications, then they tell them to go to urgent care, tell them to go to the hospital, something like that. But
so she's like a professional WebMD.
Essentially.
But like a real.
But she also prescribes. If you need medication, she'll send an e-prescription to your local pharmacy, wherever you are in the country. She's licensed in all 50 states. So she sees people from everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's dope, man.
That's a real WebMD. And you don't have to be freaked out making up your own assumptions.
Oh, my God, Because
people go down the rabbit hole and, well, they listen. Like, I coughed one time, I got AIDS. And it's like, how did you get there?
I got cancer every time I look something up. I got stage 4 cancer. Every time. I'm like, man, I can't do this no more. But I'll be wanting answers, you know? Yeah.
I'm the opposite. When I look stuff up, I always look for the least, like the least thing. I'm like, oh, that's probably what it is. Like, yeah. I don't go down, like, especially with the kids, you know, like, like, do I take him in or not? Keelan had been saying his leg was hurting. And he was saying it in the middle of the night. And I'm like, damn, I hope you don't have like a blood clot. Like, at first I went to the dark place. And then I looked it up again and it said kids around 4 start getting pains because they're having growing pains. I was like, oh, he's just about to be tall. And I went to sleep. Yep. Like as soon as I saw that one, I passed out. I was like, oh, I can sleep now.
So like, what'd you tell him? Just lay down, you're getting taller?
Yeah, like, I was like, lay down. Because his thing, he wanted to be tall so bad. Like the reason why he eats spinach every day because he wants muscles and he wants to be tall. Like that's his thing. Okay. So I was like, oh, you'll be fine. It's just you growing. He was like, oh, okay. And he went to sleep. And I went to sleep because I was like, cool. But at first I was like, we're going to have to chop his leg off. It's over. He's in blood clots. Like I was panicking. And then I was like, oh, he's just having growing pains. All right.
Yeah. I mean, that happens all the time, especially like when you say going to WebMD, a lot of symptoms intermixed with different conditions. And you're thinking it's the worst because you never experienced something like this before. And so you get that all the time. You get people self-diagnosing you, coming to you. Before you even ask your questions, they know what it is. Just give me this med. And that could be frustrating too. Oh, raise your hand.
Yeah.
Well, no, not necessarily. I'm that, but I'm kind of like, you know, I have an idea of what it might be just based on like research or whatever. And then I come in. It's like with my dizzy spells right now, I'm not getting real answers on, you know, what's causing it. So I'm just like, and I've been going everywhere. So it's just like, man. And then when you come in.
Huh? Oh, go ahead. My bad. Go ahead.
And then when you come in, it's like, you know, I come in and it's always hard to describe exactly what you're going through because everything can't be described like, you know, I feel this way. You describe it as best you can. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes I feel like I'm not describing everything 100% clearly and accurately, trying to convey it. But I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah. One of the thing that they tell all doctors, the most important thing for any doctor is getting a good history. If you don't have a good history, you don't have anything. So part of, you know, what we tell our patients is, yes, it's important to bring up the symptoms you have now, but it's equally important, if not more important, to bring up past symptoms. What happened about a couple of weeks ago? Did this happen? Did this happen? Because a lot of times, a lot of disease processes follow like a step-by-step process, and we could be ruling out things that we shouldn't have because we didn't have that history, that part of the history. So sometimes, like keeping a diary of symptoms or, you know, having that knowledge is good. I actually prefer when my patients come to me with like accurate symptoms, accurate time period. This is what happened, then this, because that helps me. But if when you're just throwing everything at me and telling me what it is, it doesn't really help. Yeah. Sometimes
that
it
history
can,
though.
But yeah, that history is important. Like if you have a family history, then that can
yeah. happen. And history be freaking people out sometimes though. Cause like I remember one time I had a urinary tract infection. Mm-hmm. But based on history, when I was rolling the dice in these streets, I had AIDS. I had chlamydia, AIDS, gonorrhea, I had everything. And I just had a year. But in my mind, he's like, what's your history? How many partners? I was like, oh God, this is it. Like I freaked out. He's like, you just got a bladder infection. But in my mind, I had, once I started talking about that history, that was it. I was on my deathbed.
I wish I could be the real Doc Brown and just erase history, but nah. We gotta bring that history.
The history has been done.
The history's been done. We can't change it.
Brad, what else going on, Mike?
Well, the governor...
Well, in the small village of Croatia, there's a small family that only eats rice. Did you hear about this?
Did you hear about this? No!
It's not Croatia. It's Kenya.
Okay.
Okay, closer.
Africa.
I've heard of Kenya. Heard of yeah. Okay.
Great. Capital of Nairobi. Nairobi.
Exactly. The governor of Nairobi, Mike Sonko, has sent out care packages to all of his people. And they include food and Hennessy.
Hennessy.
I saw the Hennessy story.
You saw it?
Yeah. Well, once this article on giving away free Hennessy, I was all in. So I did see this.
So Doc Brown.
What's happening?
Is Brandy going to help me with coronavirus?
Not with the original intention of, you said the governor or president?
The governor of Nairobi. Governor.
Yeah, not what he intends for Hennessy to be used. So he's basically saying drinking Hennessy will kill the virus. It's not true. None of the studies published, CDC, WHO, they all say that's not true. But any liquor that's 80 proof or above, which means 40% alcohol content, there have been some studies saying that you can use it as a last ditch sanitizer. So if you were to go in your, like your local grocery stores, you'll notice that all the grain alcohol is sold out because a lot of people are using it. Oh, it isn't?
Nah, I'm going to Costco getting bottles.
Stock it up. Stock up on it.
I got this 92 fruit stuff, and we've been making hot toddies. I've been loaded every night, but I feel great.
Well, stock up on it. Fantastic. Sanitizer can be used. That's what they're saying. Last ditch.
So this is not going to kill the bacteria or the virus in my throat?
No, it actually it's going to do what alcohol does, which damages a lot of organ systems, causes
gonna get
a lot
you
of
drunk.
Erosion. That too. But it'll cause more harm than good. And actually it'll lower your immune response. It actually doesn't have desirable effects on like certain white cells. White cells are the blood cells in your body that fight infection. So it actually damages some of those. So alcohol can actually be worse for you if ingested.
Crime. What about keeping people sane? Is it going to make you more sane during this whole thing?
So alcohol does hit certain transmitters that do help with anxiety, specifically GABA. But again, the negative effects of alcohol far outweigh the positives. It can help with anxiety, but it does have all these other negative effects. So it can actually make you more insane. Yeah, it can.
So people been leaning on this drinking alcohol as a crutch then. Like, nah, it's just to take a load off and, you know, make it better. But it's really making it worse internally.
I do feel like though, if people do that, like anything you do when you like escaping from something, I'm like, then it's a problem. Yeah. Like people be like, oh, do you smoke or you drink? And I'm like, I've done both. I do both, but it's for a good time. Not because I'm like, I ain't feeling good today. Let me escape. But you know, maybe I just want a few extra pumps in the bedroom. That's it. So let me take this shot of Hen. You know, it's for good times. It's for good times. A few extra strokes. That's it.
Yeah. So, I mean, for a lot of people, it does have that effect. But again, when you have increased risk of like family history of alcoholism, or if you have other medical conditions like cancer in your family or anything else where immune system and all, it affects every major organ in your body in a negative way. Mm. So when you're using too much or using for too long a time, it's going to have those negative effects. But in the short term, it can help. It can be used as a crutch, can be used as escape, like you just said, Keon. But majority of people, it won't, unfortunately.
You drink?
I do. I do drink.
What's your drink of choice?
Oh, hey.
So I'm a Crown Apple Sprite guy.
First of all, the Crown Apple is delicious.
Yeah.
You can drink it by itself.
Oh, yeah. Crown Apple Cranberry Coke Sprite. But yeah, straight up all the time.
I've become a bourbon guy as I've gotten older.
Yeah.
Bourbons, with like the heart, I used to think it was horrible. And then all of a sudden I was like, no, I'm okay with this.
Oh, yeah.
I got away from the stuff that tasted good and just like, because the overly sugary, delicious drinks, I used to tear those up, but I'm like, I don't want that no more.
If you talked to me a decade ago, I was Stoli or Smirnoff flavored vodka.
Love Smirnoff Ice. That was my Smirnoff Ice. When I would get a six pack of Smirnoff Ice and call it a day, man. That used to be my...
I don't like the judgment on those drinks either. Like, why? Why? Because we're men, all of a sudden, your drinks got to be nasty. Right. We don't have the same taste buds because we dudes now. Like, every time, because I used to drink rum and pineapples. And every time I order one, people would be like, oh, you want that with a side of vagina? And I'm like, yes, I do, actually. Thank you. Like, why can't we drink... Yeah, why can't we drink something that tastes good?
We always got judged for the fruity goodnesses, man.
It tastes delicious. And I don't know why we can't have stuff.
Yeah, I got to the same place you did.
Like, I did.
And it tastes good. Like,
and we were drinking with women because they like it. So I'm over here while you pounding gasoline with that dude with the gun. Yep. I'm over here with Sheila like, oh, you want another rum and pineapple?
Waiter, two more.
Feeling like, great. We had a good time on the fruity drinks. We smiling for no reason. Like, you know
I've never understood why guys have to drink pure gasoline to be a man. Like, this is disgusting.
Yeah. Pure gasoline. Moonshine.
Oh, have you had moonshine?
My moonshine is worst. Amazing, though. I like moonshine.
Trying to take it, I was like...
Man, it'll clean out your carburetor, your engine. Ooh. Why are we drinking this?
I remember in college, we was taking... It was my boy's birthday. We was drinking 151 out the bottle.
Yep.
And then we had a shot of Everclear. Like, why? That will kill you.
I think that's a college drink. Trying to die. That's a college drink because I started out with Everclear. That was the first time I drank.
What are we doing this for? Men,
my college drink was Jungle Juice.
Oh, I love Jungle Juice.
Fire. Jungle Juice was fantastic, man. I was always going back to the well. Like, I was going to college parties in high school drinking the Jungle Juice. I was like, this is fantastic. We're getting the fruit chunks. I'm Buzz Lightyear. This is a good time right here.
I don't understand why we can't. It tastes good and I'm drunk. I won.
Exactly.
I won. I don't know why people got to take the, I'm a man, though. Well, whatever, I guess.
Yeah.
And nothing has made me throw up more than hard liquor. Hard liquor has had me on the toilet, French kissing the toilet seat. The hard liquor did it. The Crown did that. The Tanqueray did that. Sake got me because I overdid it.
Sake I've never had a problem with.
It was so smooth. I was drinking it too much, and then the effects kicked in later, and I was just
Sneak up on you. Sake sneaks up on you all the time.
Boom. When I first started drinking, I didn't know about the sneak up.
Oh, man.
I was like, this don't even work. And I kept taking them. Next thing you know, we got up. I was like, here I go.
Man, dog.
I didn't know. I didn't know. It punched you out of nowhere.
Out of here.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Maya, what's your drink of choice?
Oh, she got it from the side.
VSOP.
Okay.
It's gotta be the blue one.
Classic.
You got the big bottle too. Is that bottle number two since the quarantine?
Well, I had two little bottles and I went through the little bottles, so now I'm on my emergency big bottle.
Didn't obliterate.
She be doing acid, looking up stuff about Malaysia. That's what she find all this stuff. She goes on a rabbit hole and she be like, you know what? Let me get on Google.
Have all this energy. Let's check
I'm obliterating.
Right. She obliterate. Every website she goes to, she goes right into the computer in her mind. Like, I'm in Malaysia. Yes.
I want to get you the real info. Well, I have a question that we need Dr. Brown's professional opinion for, because I think that he's going to know the correct answer to this. Which TV dad would be better in this situation and why?
Okay.
I like this.
Good question. I already got my answer. I've seen this question, but I let him answer.
Okay. I have some choices. If you can't think of enough, I have a few down here.
Oh, you just
here.
Want me to think of a TV dad?
Well, I'll give you some samples, and you can say maybe this one, that one, one you thought of. Uncle okay. Phil, Carl okay. Winslow, James from Good Times, Bernie Mac, Bill Cosby. And then I aged out, so.
I'm going to say Bernie Mac.
Why?
Bernie Mac will have his kids on that routine. Bernie Mac is not putting up with any mess. But at the same time, Bernie Mac is letting you be you as long as it's not destructive or messing up with his day. And he's not going to put up with any trash. So he's going to go to the grocery store. He's getting all the toilet paper. He's getting everything your family needs. There's not going to be any problems. And yeah, I think Bernie Mac, the symbol of strength for the family. I think that would be the best compared to the rest.
Okay. Tony Keon?
What was the question again? Which TV dad for this particular situation?
Yeah.
As far as like...
It's hard for me to ever rock against Uncle Phil. Because like I never picked James because James was just too hardcore all the time. Like it was just like, relax. I understand. Y'all struggling in the project. You got a cul-de-sac. You lost your hair. I get it. Your wife has no neck. I get it. You're going through a lot. But I always felt like, and then Carl Winslow, he was a pushover. Like the way Eddie used to talk to him and then run up the stairs, Eddie should have got his throat snatched out so many times. So I didn't like, but I always felt like Uncle Phil had a healthy balance of like, he would flash on him, but then be there for him. He was funny. He could dance with him, have a good time. But then I feel like he always had the good balance and came from a more balanced place than the other dads. I feel like the other dads leaned one way or another too much.
Okay.
I can see that.
I feel like, well, with James Evans, I feel like the type of job he would have, he'd be an essential worker. So he would still be working and probably test positive for COVID and then bring it back to us. So then we all got the virus. And then one of us, Michael, would pass away from the virus because he had asthma. And then we just lost the kid because he wouldn't stop working. He's like, I gotta work. And just intense. And then, Carl Winslow, like Keon said, he was on the softer side. Like I feel like he didn't really have the kids in line like that. You know, Harriet perhaps, but Carl, he really wasn't ruling with an iron fist at all. He was more on the soft, you know, Danny Tanner on the black tip side, you know. Now we come to Uncle Phil and Bernie Mac. So Uncle Phil, I feel like I can't really picture Uncle Phil going out to get the groceries for the house because they had Jeffrey and whatnot. But I feel like Jeffrey probably would have had to take some time off because, you know, because of the virus. We might not have Jeffrey.
Well, Jeffrey like was Uncle a live-in. He was a live-in.
Was he a live-in?
Yeah.
But they probably had to separate themselves from Jeffrey in the house.
Why? Wow, they all live there. That's family.
But he's a greater risk because he's 65. I'm guessing he was 65. I don't know.
I wouldn't want Jeffrey around in the COVID-19 onslaught. And probably
would you ship him back to England?
Because Jeffrey had his own family.
He could probably live in the pool house.
Jeffrey had a son that he didn't know about till later.
Oh, Jeffrey wild out here.
Jeffrey, but his only other option would have been going back to England. And I don't know if he had people out there. Like the Bankses were his family.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Storm in the pool
house. I don't know, but the thing about Bernie Mac that makes him dope is that he don't take no crap from these kids. He holds the porch down. He's savvy with the now. He was savvy. He's got the camera working. I feel like he could buy stuff online. He could still work from home. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like he could get a lot more done. Still being a dad, still doing his thing, doing comedy online, doing Zooms. And like, you know, I feel like he could do all of that and still hold the porch down. So I'm going to go with Bernie Mac in these times.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bernie Mac seems to be the favorite for our audience. If you have a favorite TV dad for right now, please leave it in the comment section below.
We left Cliff out.
Bill Cosby.
Bill Cosby.
He's a doctor. He's got to go to work.
Yeah,
he's definitely at work. Yeah, that's true.
You know who's an underrated dad? And we never talk about him in our community because he was white. But the dad of Corey's dad on Family Matters, Boy Meets World, was a dope-ass dad.
He was a good dad.
Yeah, it was cool.
He was a dope, and he don't get talked about because, you know, we don't bring him up. But like, I remember when Corey and Topanga was getting married, and they had got married, and he told them not to. And they got married. They was living in his apartment, having all these problems. He was like, "Dad, you're supposed to take care of me." He was like, "You a grown ass man. I told you not to do this. You decided you man up and you take care of your wife." I was like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he was a good dad, man.
He didn't cut Eric no slack. He raised Sean. Like, he was a good dad.
Mm-hmm. He was a good dad.
But he's an essential worker as well. He worked at a grocery store, so he...
Oh, yeah. He's definitely
out.
Yeah, but he was a good dad, man. Corey was whiny as hell. He got on my nerves the older he got. But
yeah, they both got worse the older they got.
Man, dog.
Eric became an idiot. Dude. I was like, why are you so dumb all of a sudden?
They made him too dumb. I was like,
he was too dumb.
What else you got for us, man? I like that question.
That was good. Okay.
We have some audience questions.
Oh, beautiful.
Let's do it.
The illest cheek clapper live writes, she's the illest.
Wow. I need to see her YouTube.
I love it.
She says, my friend was lamenting about how she had let her daughter go stay with her boyfriend and his family for quarantine because she knew her staying home would cause her to become depressed. She's 17. Would you have ever allowed your child to stay at their SO's house or vice versa? How would you handle mental illness in your children during quarantine?
That's a good question. It's an unfortunate situation that a lot of people are going through nowadays. People that had depression pre-COVID and developed it now. So specifically when it comes to her question, there are services that are available. A lot of, if she was in therapy or seeing a psychiatrist, a lot of these offices have converted to telepsych offices, where kind of what I was describing with my wife earlier, similar services where they can still prescribe medications if needed. They can have talk therapy. There's some applications out there, and I sent them to the links to Maya for like mindfulness and meditation and daily exercise, things that have been proven and studied to decrease depression in individuals who have it or could have risk factors of developing it. So those things are available. Specifically with that situation, there's no good answer. I'm going to be honest. If it's the environment which will keep your daughter the safest, meaning there's not any essential workers in the house, or I don't know the situation that that person is going through right now that made the daughter go to that house, but you have to weigh out the health. That takes priority, unfortunately. But there are things that are available. There's a lot of resources. And again, there's some other resources that I haven't mentioned that your daughter and you could use that are online and free.
Those will be at the bottom.
Yeah. Yeah.
So like, what was the situation? So did she have her go live with her boyfriend because she was getting on her nerves? Or yeah, was it for the daughter? Yeah. What was it?
It seems to be that for the daughter's sake, she went to stay with her boyfriend. Not because it was getting on her mother's nerves.
Oh, her boyfriend.
No, the mom's boyfriend. No, the daughter. The daughter went to stay with her boyfriend.
Oh.
It sounds like just a 17-year-old, I'm sick of your shit.
Yeah, this might be mama put your foot down moment. And you're going
to... Yeah, mama, we'll go live with him then. Yeah. And don't come back here when you had that baby. That's what's happening. She's going to get pregnant.
Oh, yeah, it's hot in these streets right now. Like, there's going to be a lot of COVID babies. Unfortunately,
I don't think I would do that. That's like throwing them to the wolves. There's no way she's not going to get pregnant. There's just
That's what I'm saying. That's too much time together. No,
not at 17. Hormones raging. You stupid? No.
They gotta be. I have to go over to the other house and see how they living. Oh, y'all sleeping in the living room, and there's got to be 8 other people in a 1-bedroom house, meaning that they'll never be alone ever in this crib. But that ain't gonna be the case. So no, you can't stay with your boyfriend.
Nah, you just gonna have to tough it up.
Yeah,
we just gonna have the box. It is what it is. But you, I'm not feeding you. No,
exactly. That's too big a risk. Definitely. And then when it's over, like, you're left on the hook to help, you know, your daughter and now your granddaughter.
She come back. Man, listen.
And you know how hard it is to give somebody freedom and then take it back like that?
Mm-hmm.
But at my boyfriend's house, I could do, well, you ain't at your boyfriend. I hate you. Like, it's just like.
She's almost out. She's 17. She's like, just wait it out another year and then you can do what you want.
You go do what you want to do.
Exactly. But 17, bring your ass here.
That's too much.
Yeah. Agreed.
I know at 17, if I wouldn't win stay my girlfriend, I'm all in that.
I'd have had 18 kids in 17. I'd have had 18 kids.
Her mama
kids.
Wouldn't even admit, because like he said, like Tony said, you don't know other people's homes. In that situation, my girl mom would have been like, oh, y'all can sleep in. She wouldn't have gave a damn.
Because some parents truly don't care what their kids be doing. Some they kids don't. Can smash on the same bed as their mom. Full smash. No. Mama's like, stop rocking the bed so much, y'all. I'm asleep still. And turn back over. They just super laid back about that. But nah, man. Mm-mm.
Yeah, you got to be safe out here. Like birth control and contraception, all this stuff's getting bought up a lot. So it's good, but also.
Oh, it is? They actually buying it?
Yeah. A lot of people.
All right. I respect it.
Yeah.
People have got too comfortable with raw these days. Like the comfort, the lack of fear with AIDS and stuff. Like, because for a minute, everybody was so afraid of AIDS, just people were strapping up. And then Magic was like, nah, we good. And everybody was like, all right, back to this raw.
It's true.
The gamble. And a lot of people found out that, you know, it's harder for women to give it to men. So they was like, oh. Yeah. Okay then, and then they just go in raw.
That's how they tiptoe like, in. Let me get in this raw.
Well, I'll take my chance.
Yeah, man. Out here, yeah, a lot of people are surviving a lot longer with HIV and the medications and all these things. So
the way they advertise commercials, yeah. They'd be like, "Just take this pill, you fine." People like, "All right."
They living their life in these commercials too.
And then during the fast talk, it's like, doesn't protect you from any other type of STIs.
They be laying that in. They be giving it like twisted, too. They be saying it fast. I be like, I hear what you're saying. I heard everything you said.
But yeah.
You got another question, Mark?
I had a question for Donald, actually, if he could share with the audience. So you're a black doctor. Your wife is a black doctor. Yep, your dad's a black doctor, and your sister's a black doctor.
Oh, my mom is. My mom is. And she's your a doctor of education. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So for our viewers out there, how would you encourage parents who want their kids to become doctors but don't necessarily have the resources themselves, how would they help their children become doctors?
That's a great question.
Good question. I would say I'm just using my personal experience and what my parents did for me. Develop that routine, like I mentioned early. So when I came home, I always had to do my homework. I had to try my best. There was no slacking off. My parents were on me 24/7 in regards to that, but they also rewarded me when I did do well. So it wasn't like I was like out here just being beaten for not getting good grades. It was like, yeah, good grades, good things happen. So doing that, and also during the summer, there's a lot of camps and programs that you can keep your kids interested. Not just like every summer, just goofing off, having fun, even though those summers are important, but also developing a skill. There are some camps I went to that were like engineering camps, science camps. I went to space camp a couple times, just something that just develops your imagination, develops your perspective. You're around more people, so you're comfortable around more people. Unfortunately, there aren't a lot of black males, black people in general, in medicine. So you're going to be around people who look different than you. So it's important for you to be able to work with individuals who don't look the same way you do. And that helped me. And also being away from home. So a lot of summers I went to colleges and for the entire summer. And I would come back and, you know, first I would hate it, but then I wouldn't want to leave. So when I went away for college, I'm from Michigan and I went to New Orleans across the country, but I was comfortable in being away from college because I got that experience. So you're going to have a lot of time in medicine where you are studying, where you're away from family, when you're away from other obligations. And unfortunately, you have to miss some birthdays, you have to miss parties, but you have to be comfortable doing those things. It takes a lot of time and dedication. So when you develop those things early, you know, you'll be good to go and you'll be prepared for when you do go through med school and residency and all these other things.
I was about to ask you about that because me and Tony talk about how much we hated school all the time, especially like developing good study habits. So you feel like your study habits were developed as a kid or like being down? Because I just didn't want to do none of it. Well, I guess what I'm asking is, was it something you were already into or did you develop it?
It was something I was kind of into. So I always liked to read when I was younger. So I like read every single Goosebumps book. I was like low key, like a that's dope. Wolverine right there. Little Wolverine.
Who are you? Who are you? Oh, you have to talk in your Wolverine voice.
Uh-oh.
He's like, I'm Wolverine.
Logan.
That's what's up.
That's funny.
Young man Logan.
That's funny.
But yeah, so I used to like to read. My parents used to buy me books and things like that, and just kind of developing that reading to me. Just the love of education. My mom had a PhD in education, so she was a teacher, she was a principal, so that kind of developed me as well. But for those who don't like school or don't like certain things, it's harder, obviously. But try to find the best way that you can learn, whether it be visual, whether it be books and so on and so forth. A lot of teachers out here are trying new ways to teach because now in this digital age, a lot of us don't have the attention spans to sit down and read an entire chapter of a book or something like that. So they're switching up the ways that they learn. So there's resources out here for parents, also included for my some resources to help with learning and teaching, especially in these times, to kind of help develop that learning, that sense of wanting to get out and learn and wanting to get out and do well and aspiring to be something.
On the financial tip, do you got academic scholarships?
Yeah. So I got a full ride to undergrad and full tuition for med school.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever feel the pressure to, you know, because that's a lot of pressure. Like, you know, if you have a bad semester, the money's off the table. So did that pressure, like, you know, make you like, all right, I gotta buckle down, even though you already had the tools to do your own studying and your own work ethic when it comes to school. Yeah. Did that added pressure of you could lose this scholarship fuel you in the classroom?
It did. I would say I'm like the worst type of student. I'm the procrastinator. So I'm the person that can read something once, day before the test, I'm knocking it out, I'm getting an A, next subject, move on. So I was the class clown. I was the person talking in class. I had a lot of friends, but I would also do well. So, all day.
I can't say I would always do well, but I always did what you said,
though. Yeah, confidence. Confidence going into that
stuff I cared about, I did well. That other stuff, it was.
What astronomy, I got an A, man. I'm proud of that A in astronomy, man. Killed it in astronomy because I was interested.
Yeah. So it just depends on the person. For me, it was easy to do that, but it did cause that extra stress. And there were times I was like, oh, damn, I need to really focus and buckle down. And let me get that extra credit. Let me go to the teacher. What do I need to do? Like, I was that guy to try to maintain that A average because I knew what the goal was. I knew I wanted to be a doctor early. And my sister being a doctor, she's older than me. I knew what it took to get there. So really had to buckle down. But,
and
you know,
I want.
Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead. Go ahead, man.
Oh, but just me, just as a person, like, I wouldn't say I'm trying to see how to word this. Like, when pressure is on, I tend to get, like, a little bit more relaxed. Like, I'm not a person that's, like, going 100% one way. Like, I try to, like, take a step back. If I'm not feeling it, I'm just going to, like, take a quick nap, get all these emotions out of my head because you're not going to learn, and then wake up refreshed and hit the ground running. So that's how I really deal with pressure.
So I have a question now, just based on now that we have a little of your history.
Yeah.
History, huh? So do you feel like now, do you want to have kids?
Yeah, we do.
So do you feel like the groundwork has been laid already? Like, your parents are doctors, your sister's a doctor, you're a doctor, you married a doctor. Do you feel like your kids, they are set up to win?
I mean,
like, the groundwork's been laid from generations and different people in the family. They're going to come from a family. It's like, this is all we know is how to be great.
So, I mean, that's my hope. Again, like, I don't know how my sons or daughters will want to be when they grow up. I'm the person, like, you can be a doctor, but also be what you want to be as long as, you know, you're sufficient and it's something you love to do and you're not out here struggling. So I'm going to try to put an environment like that around my kids. I'm going to have them open to new perspectives. I'm going to get them out of their comfort zones, do things like that. And wherever they land, they land. But, you know, my wife and I, we're very open-minded people. We like different things. We like to try a lot of things. So we want to put that on our kids, and hopefully they come out the other side, you know, successful.
Yes. And I like that you stress the importance, without even stressing it, you just, the importance of like camps and like doing stuff and going outside of the comfort zone. Like, cause I'm sure your parents made you go to like a camp that you, man, I don't want to go to this. Yeah. You're going anyway. You like, and then you get there and it's like, man, this is a great
it's
time.
It's a good time.
Exactly. And like all the camps that I've been involved in and have gone to, initially I go in like, man, it's going to be trash. And I would have a great time almost every time, you know? So, the benefits of that are just like crazy. Like,
oh yeah,
you know, the importance of that.
Yeah, you just learn like more about yourself. Like you learn more about what you like, what you don't like, away from that comfort zone that you're used to. If you're a person that's always in the house or always around your set of friends, like now you don't have any of that. And now you're forced, you could be a completely different person or you could be the same person. You can choose whatever you want to project to other people around you during those camps. So you could trial and error certain things about yourself and you learn more about yourself. So it'd be pretty dope.
Was you in Nesby?
Nesby?
Yeah.
What's that?
National Society of Black Engineers.
Oh, no, no. I wasn't. Nah.
I slid up in that group because my major was secondary education science at the time.
Okay.
So I was eligible to get up in Nesby. And then so I was in there. I changed my major to social studies. So I was kind of a fraud after that. But when we went to California, it was the first time I ever flew. And then, you know, we went to Disneyland, man. Had the time of my life. Snuck into a Common concert. I lied and said I was part of a media staff that was doing a report on Common. Got in for the free. I was like, man.
Oh, yes.
Ingenuity right there. Do you have a pen and paper? Like, what'd you have on you?
I had my lanyard from the Nesby joint, but they didn't know what the hell they were looking at.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I'm writing articles. I'm reviewing, like, the concerts as part of the conference and all of this. They was like, oh, well, let me see what I can do. We got in there. I was like, I felt like the man. Because like, I smuggled me and my crew in on the free at the House of Blues. Who was doing this?
He was like, dope. Tony, what can we get you? A pack of Smirnoffs. Hook me up.
Let's go. Me and my
bunch Smirnoffs. Let's go.
Epic. Well, hey, man, listen, we're going to have you back on here.
Yeah, that was fun.
Let's do it, man. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, because you was good and you was not bored. That's the key.
That's what I try to be, not boring. Man. That was my goal.
And we could go to you for the hard hitting. We could say our ridiculousness and then we go to you for the professional angle.
Let's do it.
Yeah, definitely want to have you because I got more questions about your future plans for the, for the children now.
Yeah. Definitely down to talk about it. Let me know.
We're going
to
be bugging you, man. We're going to be bugging you.
Let's do it.
But thank you so much. Do you want people to reach you anywhere or where they can find you or anything like that?
So if people want to reach me, you can go to my Instagram, DEEBEE_Deuce. That's D as in dog, EE, B as in boy, EE underscore Deuce. And my email is dbrown1374@gmail.com. So any questions, anything, DM me, hit me up. More than happy to answer.
Boom. I won't be at a city near you anytime soon, guys. But, you know, I'll still be here on my pages and stuff. TonyBakerComedy.com, Tony Baker Comedy on everything. Tony Baker Comedy on Call of Duty on PS4, man. Pull up. I'm out here.
Keon Poli on everything. Same. Nothing's really changed. Oh, no. You know what? I had a special I shot in 2011 that I never released. And I just put it out. Go to my website. It's up there. You can go grab it. It's old as hell. All right. It's old as hell. But for the reviews, I was actually nervous about putting it out because I'd only been doing comedy for a little bit. But the reviews back to me was like, we couldn't tell. So, hey, go check that out. I just put that out, and that's the only thing new I got going on.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. All of Dr. Donald's links are going to be at the bottom. So if anyone's interested in getting some resources to help them through this COVID quarantine, it's all going to be down there.
And can I just say one more thing, guys? First of all, thank you for having me again. And, you know, we are out here, you know, doing what we can during this, you know, pandemic. But at the same time, I just want to thank you guys, Tony, Keon, Maya, and everyone else in your industry for bringing some kind of entertainment, laugh, joy to our day-to-day lives. It's needed. And we want you to continue doing it. So please go out and support every single person who was entertaining us, who was there to lift up our days and with anything that you can do.
Thank you for your professional opinion.
Yeah, it's my absolute pleasure. We're needed, people. It's my absolute pleasure to be doing this. Absolutely. And it's sanitary.
Exactly. So. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
100%. All right, if y'all got any questions for us, ask us in the YouTube section, in the comment section on YouTube. Ask us. We'll tackle them on the show. We're going to be answering more audience questions from here on out. So ask away, y'all. No matter how ridiculous, let's get it going.
Let's do it.
And booty clapper, right. We need to see your YouTube.
Cheeks clapper
live.
Oh, live.
Live.
Oh, I'm not doing no members only thing.
No pre-recorded claps and slaps. All right, y'all. We out here.
All right. Take care.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.